we're going to continue on our series, Let's Celebrate. And today specifically, we're going to talk about celebrating God's provision. Now, God provides for his people in a number of ways. We're going to look at those ways today, and we're going to talk about celebrating. You see, God does so many good things for us. Often we're praying about him, you know, meeting the need, doing whatever, but sometimes we forget to celebrate. We forget to thank him once the prayer's answered. I mean, how many, you know, you go on Facebook and group chat and you have 30 people praying for the need. After it's answered, you forget to tell everybody. You're just like, that's good. Sometimes with provision, we just take it for granted. You know, you've always been strong, had a great job, and money was coming in. Never take that for granted. God allows you to be able to do that, and I believe we should celebrate it, and that's simply by thanking him, by getting joyful about what he does. So let's get into the message about celebrating God's provision. The first way that I believe God provides, and this can happen in a number of contexts, but especially church contexts, God provides through other people. We've read this scripture before, but I'm going to read it again. This is David, and he is preparing for the temple construction. And in 1 Chronicles 29:7, let's read it. It says, "For the construction of the temple of God, they gave," that's the people, "about 188 tons of gold, 10,000 gold coins, 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. They also contributed numerous precious stones, which were deposited in the treasury of the house of the Lord under the care of Jehiel, a descendant of Gershon. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy." They rejoiced over the offerings that they had given, and God was providing through his people, and they became joyful. Scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. Did you know that giving should not be something that is like, oh, I have to do this. There goes my hard-earned money. We're going to talk more about that in a bit, but our giving to what God is directing is like planting seeds. And when you plant seeds in your garden, does anybody here garden? A few people? When you plant seeds in your garden, are you like really mad? Oh, there goes those seeds. No, you were expecting for them to grow and produce. You think about tomatoes. If you put one tomato seed for each plant, those plants grow. They produce many tomatoes with many seeds. And you were totally fine with buying those seeds and putting them in the ground, because you know a harvest is coming. Well, giving is should be joyful in that sense, and it's easy to be joyful when you understand God's principles of giving. If you don't, you probably won't be joyful. Or if you feel pressured or like somebody's making you, you're probably not going to feel joyful about it. But when you understand it, how God meant it, you actually get excited because you understand God's directing me, I'm obeying, doing what he asks, and when you do that, there's increase coming. We'll get into that more because I don't want to get too far into that right now. But they rejoiced. They had a time of, this is awesome. Look what God is doing. And David praised the Lord in verse 10. It said, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. He said, "Oh Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things." Listen to what he says. "Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. Our God, we thank and praise your gracious name." You see, David got excited and rejoiced in prayer about what God was doing through his people. And I tell you, God provides in many ways through others. Just as he provided for our building renovation. And what a great blessing that phase two is finished and paid for. Because God is good and he provides. And yes, he used many of you, and we want to say thank you to you as well. But it is something worth celebrating, and we've talked about it as we were getting into the project. We promoted it. We said all this. It would be wrong to talk a whole bunch on the other end and not celebrate on the other side. So when you hear me talking about like this, I'm celebrating, and I'm celebrating with you. So if you were wondering, you're like, yeah, I gave you. You should do a little dance. God did it. And he guarantees to pour back into what you've given, because that's how good he is. So thank the Lord for what he's done. You see, God often will provide through other people. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament, and it's a story about Elijah. And Elijah was a prophet of God. He was kind of a wild prophet, actually, and they said he was really hairy. And people recognize him by that description. You know, he's wearing skins, you know, animal skins, and he's hairy. And back in those days, you know, they didn't have hair gel, and, you know, he was wild. He was like a wild man. But this was who he was, and he spoke for God, and he spoke for God and said, because the king and the people have strayed from God and they're now doing their own thing, they don't care about his ways, there's a famine going to come on the land. And the famine's coming, and it's going to continue because God's trying to speak and say, hey, the way you're living isn't okay. And so Elijah prophesies this, and then he basically disappears because the king wants to kill him. For a time, Elijah is by a brook of water, and ravens bring him food. I thought about that. What kind of food would ravens be bringing Elijah? I mean, if it was in Slave Lake, they'd be bringing you leftover McDonald's or something, but you know, French fries. I don't know. It was probably some old meat or whatever ravens like. But anyhow, he was fed there, and then the brook dried up. The famine was going long. Nearly 3 years at that time. The brook dries up, and God directs Elijah to go somewhere else. And I want to pick up the story there. 1 Kings 17 and verse 7. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. This is important. I've instructed a widow there to feed you. So Elijah gets up, he goes off to Zarephath, and he'd be walking however long that would take. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Okay, God is going to provide for Elijah. He also wants to provide for this widow woman, and he has a plan, but they both have to be obedient. Elijah has to get up, go, and ask the poorest of the poor, because that's what God told him. You see, a widow woman in a famine was a beggar herself, most likely. To live or to survive, she would have had to go to relatives, to others, and she would have to ask so that she could have anything. But God instructed her that there's a prophet coming, and I want you to look after him. I didn't know about you, but can you imagine that moment? Obviously, this widow woman is a woman of prayer. Can you imagine the moment she's praying out to God, can you help my son and I survive? And God's answer is, I'm sending a prophet, and I want you to look after him. What? I don't think she liked that answer. I wouldn't have. You're like, how do you know she didn't like it? Because I know by her answer to Elijah, she didn't like it. She'd been through a lot by this time. Obviously lost her husband, so many things not going right. The morning that Elijah met her, she had woke up that morning and she was in no place to do anything God wanted, because we can tell from her words, she woke up thinking, well, this is the last day. She woke up with, okay, God, I quit. I'm going out to get some sticks. I'm cooking our last meal and we're going to die. She may have been like, God, you failed me. Maybe someone here today, you're at a point of, I don't know anymore. This is it. But isn't it interesting that God had a plan, but they both needed to be obedient? Elijah turns to her when she says this and says, listen, go make me a little cake first from the flour and the oil you have. And then after, you'll feed yourself and your son. And guess what? This flour and this oil will not run out. I remember reading this story when I was younger. And I thought, what? Go find your own food, Elijah. There's a widow and her son starving. I didn't understand the principle. God was about to provide for her as well. But she had to take it all and hand it to him. She had to say, okay, I'll be obedient. And so she fed Elijah, and that flour and that oil did not run out. It says, for many days, she went from not being able to hardly survive to feeding her family and somebody else. You see, increase comes after being obedient, not before. If you knew how many times I hear people tell me, well, when this big thing comes, then I'll, you know, do what God says. It's the other way around. It's called sowing and reaping. You plant and then a harvest comes. You don't get a harvest and then plant. It doesn't work that way. You see, when God directs, you will need to listen. Did you know tithing is an instruction from God to his people? If you're not a believer, this is not for you. But if you're a Christian and you want to be blessed by God, tithing is his instruction. That's 10% of your increase. Now, if you don't have anything, nothing came in, you can't give anything. But if $200 came in, $20 would be his. Why does he do that? Because when you fully trust him with 10% of what's come in, you are saying, God, I want you in charge of my finances. I want you to look after me and look after this stuff. And he does. You see, the farmer knows in the spring he's going to have to empty those granaries and put them into the ground for a harvest to come. But if he was stingy and tight-fisted and decided, I got to save this grain, there would be no harvest, and before long he'd be broke. You see, God's kingdom works with this principle as well. Planting comes first. And did you know that sometimes the harvest takes a while to come? You take a young child and start telling them about gardening, and we're going to plant carrots. They want to come back the next day and have carrots. But it doesn't work that way, does it? I remember years ago at home, Mom decided we're going to plant apple trees. And so we had gone to the greenhouse and bought these apple trees. They're about that tall. And we're digging this big hole, and we're putting these trees in, and we're putting the dirt and the fertilizer. And I remember helping. I liked gardening. I liked eating out of the garden, you know. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, look, by fall, we'll be eating apples. And I said something like that, and she said, oh, no, when we plant these trees, it takes about 2 years before you get apples from them. I remember stopping, being like, what? When you're a kid, 2 years is forever. I'm like, what are we wasting our time for? 2 years. Well, guess what? In 2 years, they started producing apples. And that was about 40 years ago, and they're still producing apples. Oh, yeah, that was worth the planting. That was worth the work. But you see, if you want to see God bring abundance, you have to be obedient first. And you can ask anybody, this is a principle in business. If you want a business to grow, you've got to plant, you've got to sow. You've got to put it out before it comes back in. That's how business works. And that's how God's kingdom works. Now, I got to say this before I move any further. This part of God's provision and his provision coming through others and your obedience, it does matter, but this is not a message about giving. And if you are here today and you're a widow or you're somebody in that type of position, I'm going to tell you, don't give today. Because I do not want you feeling pressured or emotional about this. This is a story that brings a principle that the whole church needs to understand. When you're obedient, then blessing comes. And I need to say this right now about the idea of obedience. And we'll maybe get to it a little more, but obedience brings a blessing. Disobedience brings the opposite of a blessing. All right? We'll get into that a little bit because you guys are looking at me like, where are we going? We can celebrate God's provision through others, and if you're the other that God's asking to help, get ready for a blessing. Okay? I want to leave that in that portion right now. So we can celebrate God's provision through strength, wisdom, and favor that he gives us. So we started with others helping, but also he wants to provide through what he's given you. But you celebrate him because he gives it. Too often, people start getting blessed and things are going well and they become arrogant and they think it's all because of them. Well, that's easy to do. You're putting the hard work in. You're doing the hours. You're getting the contracts. You're doing it. But keep giving him the glory because he gave you the wisdom. He gave you the strength. He's giving you the blessing and the favor to make it happen. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18 says this, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." He gives you the power to get wealth. Yeah, that's scripture. God wants you to be blessed. We started this year with a word from God about the year, and the word was it will be a year of abundance. And there are people that are seeing abundance every day. There's other people that are watching the news and in fear, they're sure that they're going to go broke. Then you need to know where your source is, and you can walk in abundance. Proverbs 3, verse 14 says this, "Wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths, and her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly." Wisdom. If you want to be abundantly blessed and walk in a provision from God that is beyond what you can imagine, you will need to be obedient and you will need wisdom. Wisdom comes from a desire to learn and grow and understand. And wisdom will require you to do things differently tomorrow than you do today if you want a different result. If you don't like where your finances are right now, then you need wisdom to know what to do different tomorrow. Because if you keep doing it the same way, you'll be at the same position later. Do you know how many people, their idea of a miracle is if I win the lottery, everything will change? I have had people tell me that when they win the lottery, they're going to tithe a lot of money to the church. I usually just laugh. So, well, that's not how God's kingdom works. I mean, that would be fun. Did you know I did some research a number of years ago on people who've won the lottery? Most people within about a year have it all spent and they're in the same position before they won the lottery. Some people are actually in a worse position. People who've won the lottery, they're in a worse position because now they have no money and they have no wife and they have no business and they have no job because, you know, they quit everything when they got the money. So don't let that be your miracle prayer. You truly want to rise up and go forward, then you need wisdom. Ask for it. God said if anyone is wanting wisdom to ask for it, ask him, he'll bring it. I know we got some wise people in here. I know that. We got some that are going to be even wiser because they're going to ask for it. Wisdom. So God gives you the strength or the power. He gives you wisdom. And then I want to read this verse in Psalm 5:12. "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." Let me read that again because it was so short, so quick. You missed it. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as a shield. Let me give you some definition of blessing and favor for a minute. It's a blessing was a public declaration of favored status with God, and the blessing endowed power for prosperity and success. You want to see prosperity and success? Allow the Lord to bless what you're doing. And the word favor, they're kind of connected. Blessing and favor are synonymous in a sense, but a little bit different. Favor, it had this to say in a topical index. It said, favor in the Bible context refers to grace, kindness, goodwill that God or individuals bestow upon others. It is often associated with divine blessing, approval, and preferential treatment. Favor can manifest in various forms, including protection, provision, and success. Surely the Lord will bless the righteous and surround them with favor as a shield. Who wants God's blessing and favor? I do. God's blessing and favor is for his people. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. God wants people rich. God wants to bless people with wealth for his purposes, for his kingdom. But oh, he doesn't want wealth to destroy you or take you out. He is going to make sure you are ready and you can handle it. And do you know a way that you show God you're ready and you can handle it? You're obedient with your tithe or your first fruits. Isn't that crazy? That is actually a sign or a testament of faith to God that this money is not going to own you. Because when it first comes in, you say, okay, the 10%, that's for you, God. And you give it at your local church. It's a sure sign that you can handle it. The first fruits in Scripture, they had crops back in those days and herds. And when the crops were first getting ripe, they would take the first ripe grains of the crops and they would give that to the Lord, the first. Why did God ask them to do that? They were saying, God, the very first, the best is yours. And God would bless and pour out on the rest of that crop, and the rest of those herds. You see, you tell God, I will do what you've asked, and God begins to give favor and blessing upon it. God's blessing and favor opens doors for us, draws people to us, and causes whatever we do to prosper. Now that's something I want from God, and I can celebrate when he does it. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 9. Then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands, and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous just as he delighted in your ancestors. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And of course, Jesus echoed this when he said, serve him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, God's blessing and favor, according to Scripture, is for those who obey and walk after him. Unfortunately, there's always another side to this. And his blessing and favor will not be on you if you choose to live in sin. It is a fact. According to Scripture, the opposite of blessing and favor comes on your life when you, as a believer, know what's right and choose to live in sin. It's called a curse. Things will not go well. Things will not work out. And eventually, there will be horrible consequences. I've often asked the Lord, Lord, how come in Scripture and even today you wait so long to deal with your people if they get in sin? Why not deal with it quick? We'd be smarter. I mean, I liked when Mom said, oh, you're doing that wrong. Here's the consequence. I'm like, I'll give you a consequence next week. That would have been horrible. No thanks. Did you know that Samson chose to live his own way? And yet it took 20 years before he suffered the consequence. But he was planting, sowing the wrong way, and to his end. That's horrible. If you're living in sin, a consequence will come. And his blessing and his favor will not be on you while you live in it. And the worst thing about it is it also with everything you connect and the people you connect with are affected by your living in sin, and the blessing is no longer there. Your household, the blessing and favor leaves. Your kids are affected by it if you have kids. You see, I want God's people to live abundantly under his provision, but there's some things his word says and there's no way around it. You can't walk out of here today and like, whoo, his blessing, his favor is going to be all over me, but I'm going to just do whatever I want. Go ahead, do whatever you want, live how you want. His blessing and his favor has been removed, even if you don't yet see it. And the day will come, you will. King Saul decided he no longer wanted to obey God. Well, he'd obey him, sort of, but he decided, I'm going to do it my own way. And he didn't do what God asked him. Instead of fully following what God said, he said, no, I'm gonna just do my own way. And he kept the sheep and the things he was supposed to get rid of. He did it his own way. And God said, because you've done this, I'm going to choose another. And the anointing left. But did you know that he continued in that position with everything looking just fine for years and years and years? The entire time, the blessing and favor of God was already gone. And did you know that everybody in his household was affected by his choices? Everything that he was in authority over was affected by his choices of, I'm going to just do it my way. You don't want to live that way. Live under the blessing, not the curse. Do the hard work to fix it. Make the tough decisions. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to live fully in his kingdom purpose? Then you need to live in obedience. I want his blessing and his favor to be all over his people. And listen, I'm not talking about you made a mistake. I'm not talking about you had a rough day. I'm talking about you just decided, I don't care anymore. This is how I'm going to live. You've made a mistake and you're feeling horrible today, you ask him to forgive you and you get help to walk it the way you need to walk it. Okay? He loves you. But his blessing and his favor doesn't reside on a life that says, I'm going to do it my way. And there's no way around it. I can't tell you different. I'm not here to tickle your ears. There's somebody right now, they're like, I should have went camping. Okay, just stay with us. We can do this. You're here on purpose. You see, God provides, and he wants to provide through others. He wants to provide through you the wisdom, the blessing, the favor. You know, God showed me that there's many in our congregation who he wants to take to a whole new level of abundance. He's got to give you wisdom, his blessing and favor be on you. You go pray, you ask him, you talk to him. Lord, what is it that you need me to do? What's the step I need to take? Just be obedient and watch him. What is the wisdom I need? You know, if you have a business and you are working yourself to death, you need wisdom. That's not how you gain wealth. That's how you get really old and tired fast. Somebody need to hear that. Ask for wisdom in business. Ask for it. Because God wants to show you. He doesn't want you to work yourself to death to see you blessed. He wants you to have wisdom and know how that it works. Celebrating God's provision, another way that God provides is miraculously. Miraculous provision is awesome, and it happens when a miracle's needed. There's a couple of stories in Scripture. One in Matthew 17, and this is the coin found in a fish. And let me just read it. However, we don't want to offend them. Jesus is talking. He's talking to Peter. So go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. That is miraculous provision. And I'm telling you, I would not mind catching a fish that had enough money in it to pay all my taxes for the year. And my friends, that would be cool. That's miraculous provision. You see, it wasn't just a nickel. This was enough to pay for a year's worth of taxes. That's God's miraculous provision. There's another story about miraculous provision that many of you, if you've been in church for a while, know the story. It was the multiplying of food. Jesus fed a multitude of people with just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Verse 19, then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Amazing what the blessing of God can do. I want the blessing of God. I have the blessing of God. We need and want the blessing of God on our stuff. When he blessed some fish and bread, it multiplied so many times over, it's unbelievable. But he blessed them, and then he broke them into pieces, and he gave the bread to the disciples who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. And it says about 5,000 men were fed that day, including women and children, or women and children on top of that. And a really low number would be 2 more to every one of the men. That's a lot of people. That's 5, 10, 15,000. Boy, my math is good today, because math is hard. God can do anything. Miraculous provision. His blessing upon food multiplied it. Has anybody here ever had a miraculous provision? You would say we had a miracle provision. God has the ability to provide and do it in miraculous ways. I love how he pours out and he shows himself strong when we're obedient. Now, I got to say today, we're talking about celebrating his provision, and I talked a lot about some of the principles of how he pours back. I want you to know that those are principles that I've followed all my life before I was ever a pastor. I was in construction for a number of years, building houses and doing ministry on the side. And always I tithed. I gave my 10% first. It came, I would give it to the church we were attending. I was giving it to the Lord, but that's where I brought it because I knew that's what Scripture said. And at that time, I made $1,600 a month, and almost every weekend, we would travel out to other places to do ministry, and we would pay the fuel ourselves, and most times, no money would come in from it. And always, tithe went first. I had a home, I had bills, power bills, and you know what? We never ran short. We were never without. We were blessed. We were blessed abundantly. We did ministry wherever God said. We just got up, we went, we did it. We took trips to Ukraine, plane tickets. That's not possible. You do the math, you're going to have to work a lot of months and spend nothing to buy a plane ticket for 3 people to Ukraine. How does that happen? When you follow God's principles, he blesses. And he makes things that are impossible suddenly become possible. God wants to do some impossible things for you. He wants to bless you abundantly, but you need to be obedient. Finally, I want to wrap up with this. We can celebrate every day, and we should, God's greatest provision of all. And I believe his greatest provision of all is his provision for complete forgiveness. His provision to make people brand new. It is the greatest provision. You see, his provision for complete forgiveness, money can never buy it. It's just a free gift. Let me read to you 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold and silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. You see, that amazing provision of salvation and forgiveness, it's free, it's paid for by Jesus, his blood. You see, that provision that he made available for us, no amount of work can pay for it. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. You see this amazing provision that he's given. It's free. You don't have to do enough stuff to earn it. See, when you choose to follow Christ, when you choose to allow his gift of salvation to be a part of you, you are forgiven. You've become born again. You start a new life of serving him and following his way. The gift is free. You see, we simply need to open up and receive that gift. You're like, okay, well, Jesus paid the price, so I can be forgiven, so you know I can be made right with the Father, and heaven will be my final destination. That's good. Well, if he paid for it, isn't it just for everybody? It's for everybody, but you have to receive it. In Revelation, there's a picture of it like this, and Revelation 3:20, it's Jesus talking, and he says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in, and we'll share a meal together as friends. Jesus is giving them a clear picture. It's all done. I'm right here. It's like I'm knocking, saying hello. You receive it. You open the door. You invite him in to your house, to your life, to your space. He's ready. The price is paid, but you have to invite him in. You invite him in, and he says, I'll be part of your life. Okay, how do you invite him in? Because I don't see him at my door. How do I invite him in then? Well, Scripture says it's this simple. If you confess or speak with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that he's been raised from the dead, he paid the price for you, you'll be saved. So you invite him in with words, kind of the same way you would invite someone into your house who's knocking. Come on in, the door's open. Words. Begin something awesome. So we take opportunity at our church to do this, and we're going to do this again this morning. We are just going to pray a simple prayer that people can repeat that lets them use words for what they're feeling here right now. Maybe you're dating, you're like, I don't understand all of this. You don't have to understand it all. You have to believe it. You have to feel it here. And if you do, and you want to say these words with us, you can guarantee that you're forgiven and that you're saved. So let's pray right now. I want to ask everybody to join me for that one or two maybe who are doing this for the first time. So please repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now, forgive me of all my sin. Make me new. Today I choose to follow you. I thank you that I am yours. Amen.